Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, everyone. This is the Sound Health Options Show for August 25th, 2013. I'm still stunned we're at 2013. With Richard Olson and...
Sherry Edwards. Just checking the date. I got it wrong on the keynote. How are you, Richard? Good morning.
I'm pretty good. Good morning. I know everybody's a little... Even though it's different, we're all in different time zones for people who haven't heard us before or just don't sort of track that. I'm in California and Sherry's in Ohio. So we're all over the place. Different time zones and everything. But it still seems, I don't know, we'll have to ask Susan about that, about an astrology thing to see what the sort of like, things feel slightly mercurial and I'm not sure why.
We have people from all over the world listen to this show. It's incredible. I think it's
It really is amazing to see our audience base just keeps getting bigger and bigger. It's quite fun.
Well, I think it's because we offer serious information and ideas. It's not just, okay, we give you a teaser word, and then you have to come back and listen to a half hour or something or the other, and then we're going to tell you something. We really do provide information and ideas in support of self-responsibility and self-health, and so that's where we're coming from. Sponsored by the Institute of Bioacoustic Biology and Sound Health in Ohio. I have a couple of announcements. Richard, do you have any?
No. I do, but I would just be getting on a soapbox and ranting about something. So, no, let's go with the announcements.
You're always ranting about something. It's wonderful. We're going to be doing vocal profiling live on Tuesday evening from 6 to 7 Eastern. We're going to learn more about Alzheimer's, how to tell if somebody has Alzheimer's, who has Alzheimer's in Congress, which I think is interesting. We touched on that on our happy hour last week, but we're going to actually show people how to do it, not just talk about how we came up with these names. I am getting so many people who want to know who's telling the truth here. These four or five Muslim Brotherhood people that Obama put in Homeland Security, now I'm being asked even by government people to figure out if they're legitimate or not and what's really going on there. One of the other things that has been happening here that I want to share, we have software on our site under downloads and software. One of them is radiation software, and it's because this comes up and it dies down and comes up and dies down. And this is an article, West Coast of North America to be hit hard by Fukushima radiation. And I will read this a little bit to you, not much here, because it's important. While many people assume that the ocean will dilute the Fukushima radiation, a previously secret 1995 U.S. government report concluded that the oceans may not adequately dilute radiation from nuclear accidents, and there could be pockets and streams of highly concentrated radiation. The University of Hawaii's International Pacific Research Center created a graph showing the projected dispersion of debris from Japan. And Richard, you are right in the midst of it. I don't know.
Boy,
if
howdy.
Those of you who are watching us on our simultaneous broadcast could be looking at this map on WebEx. And if you aren't looking at the map, let's put the link in there for them to go look at their own. I'll put it in here for everyone on WebEx. And we announce WebEx addresses on Facebook along with Blog Talk Radio. So we're actually simultaneously broadcasting for people. Usually, the sound is much better at Blog Talk than on WebEx, but we can see the pictures. You know, I could describe this to you that Hawaii is right in the middle, and it goes north equatorial to Kuroshio, which I don't know if I'm pronouncing or butchering. It shows where it's going into the Alaskan Bay. But California, right there by that convergence zone of all this radiation. So go to our site, download the software. Everything is there for you. The textbook, the videos, the charts, the software, everything is there. We put this up because we think this is an incredible problem on the planet, and we're seeing it more and more in the clinic here of people who have these nondescript symptoms. So we put this up. It's up 24/7. You do have to register it, so just send us an email. The address is right there to get your registration. And that's just because we have to track who is there, or who has our software. But you can jump on our website and sign up to get all of these announcements early about the free happy hour classes, the free vocal profiling classes. It's all there for you, and a lot of it is free. And people say, if it's free, it's probably not any good. Well, it is good, and it's stuff that we have struggled to be able to bring you. And a lot of volunteers, even the person doing the programming, the computer program, has volunteered thousands of hours trying to get this stuff to the public. So I don't know how people come to trust who we are and what we do. But they do. I think Richard had a statement. You want, I'll quote it, or, and you correct me if I'm wrong, that Sherry Edwards is known as the Oprah of sound health because she gives so much away to people to help them stand on their own two feet. Something like
that's
that.
That's it. I mean, it's really, it is really true. I mean, at each show, especially now, at each show, you know, it is like looking under your metaphorical seat. There's some amazing gift of, if it's not this radiation software, it's the fatigue software. I mean, each month you give something away. You really are the Oprah of, you know, sound health.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, speaking of that radiation software, it's under bonus. So this year it is, this year, this month it is fatigue. And everything is there for you. The two computer programs, the textbook, the how to work with your clients to do this, how to get them information. But we're particularly interested, well, fatigue, because we were just coming out of that interstellar stuff about creating fatigue. But NanoVoice is also there for you, three of them. But radiation, I think, is the most important one. In the beginning, you got a little bit of that radiation when it first went off, and we were able to help you with some of these charts and nutrition. So we're pleased about that. Tell your friends where to go get this and spread it around the world. We'd love to have that happen. We also have, this last announcement, a Guardian Network class tonight under Guardian here. It is for members only, but you can join, and we have this up for 2 weeks after the show, but it'll be a recording and not live. So we're going to be doing it on the heart and circulation, and the membership includes the class and the software every month. So we invite people to go look at that and then join us either live or by a recording. But today we are doing, oh, forgot the keynote, didn't I? We are going.
And
to
I have to interject quickly. Are you recording at WebEx?
Yes, but you know, the recording here is usually not very good. It's better at Blog Talk. It's up within the hour, but yes, we are recording.
Okay, thank you.
The keynote. You want to describe what the keynote is, Richard?
The keynote, I talk about it every week, and it always blows my mind what it is. Is it's It's what I will call a reflection, or it's a frequency that's created by the alignment, astronomical alignment of the planets in the universe. And it's a note that's tracked by Sherry's software and by NASA and by, you know, people of all sorts of uncertain, you know, acronyms are tracking this keynote. Sherry actually knows how to talk about it. I'm not sure any of the others do. And it's just this amazing thing that has an influence on us on a, you know, several day basis. I love the keynotes.
Well, this keynote I did for tomorrow, the 26th. So it'll be good from the 26th to the 29th. So the keynote today is about the spine. Have you read it already? I did send it over to you, Richard.
Yes, I did. Yeah, okay. It's amazing.
This would be a good time to confirm if stellar frequencies are actually influencing you, because you're going to see the effects of this right away. If you have any of the symptoms below today, it's likely from an outside environmental stellar influence rather than any actual physical issue with your structure. Several vertebrae frequencies are in stress. C2, cervical 2, above the midpoint of the neck. You'll notice more strain in doing close work or maybe such just a dull aching pain in that region. I've had that for 2 days now. C2 controls the eyes. I've noticed considerable more eye strain coming on. Sinus issues, earaches, maybe a flare-up in an old issue, maybe like Epstein-Barr. T7 in the upper back, a couple of inches below where your neck crook's on. T7 controls the thyroid, shoulders, and elbows. We just had somebody here last night that said their elbow was hurting, and they didn't know why because they didn't do anything to it. And I should have thought of this, and I didn't. So conditions such as bursitis, we sent somebody home this week with bursitis, and bronchitis, cold, thyroid issues may occur. S2, now this is the one that I noticed a few days ago starting to creep up. As to the sacral area below your belt line, it's a dull ache or sort of, if you're carrying something, you're going to feel more stress there. It's responsible for providing nerve energy for the lower legs and ankles. The big toe is especially vulnerable. And I got this information about the spine from a link that we'll go ahead and put in the chat for you. But here is the C2 location for those of you watching the show, where it says affects the eyes, optic nerves, auditory nerves, sinuses, mastoid, tongue, forehead. Okay, C7 is the next one, affects the shoulders and the elbow. And then we'll move. Well, S2 is not on this chart. I couldn't find it, a picture of it. But it's like the flat part of your butt, you know, below your belt line. So I will put this link up for everybody. I'll put it in the chat here on WebEx, and then Richard can probably move it over to Blog Talk. We're serving two masters, Richard.
It is a little bit like juggling, but it just adds to that, you know, live tension that I so like.
And we also have posted it on the website. On the front page, just go to the last little, I don't know what you call these buttons. Starts home info classes, and it's under more, and it's called the keynote. And we always put some optical illusion there for you because, bioacoustically speaking, almost everything is something else. So just like optical illusions, your mood and health can be caused by more than what you perceive at first glance. Not only is the back, but we've got some issues with a muscle, the gluteus maximus, and that's the muscle that provides the overall shape to your butt. But I didn't know if I could post that on the site, so I put your behind, the muscle you sat on. Fibrin, which is a protein for blood clotting, and natokinase, a nutrient commonly associated with blood circulation, will be coming into play early in the week. niacin or B3 is reported to help both of these issues. You experiencing any of those symptoms, Richard?
My eyes, not as much, but I'm definitely having hip, butt, sciatic-y, lower sacrum. So I've got that going, absolutely. And I'm a big fan. I'll add a note about natokinase. Natokinase is a great proteolytic enzyme, actually derived from a particular kind of fermented soy, that is a really great anti-inflammatory when it comes to the cardiovascular, meaning the blood system. It's really has some fabulous positive results. It's well worth looking up just for its own action on a regular basis as a systemic anti-inflammatory, to particular benefits to the blood.
If anyone wants to send this information to their friends, just go to our site, more to the keynote, grab this, what do you call it at the top, that address? Grab that.
Yes, the URL.
The URL. Universal something something. So grab that address, that URL, and just stick it in your Facebook address. And one of the things this does is relieve the stress. Richard may think, oh, I've got something coming with my hip, and I need to go to the chiropractor, and I need to do this. And it's just really these environmental frequencies that are coming from interstellar space. So there's a little explanation there in a blue box that tells you what this is and how it's coming to us and why we should be aware of it. Because some of this stuff's just not yours, so don't worry about it. It'll go away in a few days. How's that?
That's good. I like the going away part. I'm a big fan of the, okay, here it is. And that's one of the things, as I say, about this, the keynote, is it always amazes me how each week when Sherry does this, talks about the keynote, I'm always surprised at, during the week, how I have people calling me and saying, you know, I've noticed this, you know, thing and the achy part and my vision is, you know, whatever is being talked about in the keynote is stuff that people are either dropping me emails or asking me questions about. It just always sort of, it's evolved now. I expect to hear the keynote explain kind of what's happening. It's amazing.
Joanne is asking, where do we get these interstellar frequencies to interpret? Joanne, they're in your Gen Pro under Pre. There's a whole great big computer program incorporated into your professional software that tells you how to look at this. Go to your Gen Pro program. And we just got through this fantabulous week of the 5-day professional seminars. There was so many great people in there, and they caught on, and every day we were ahead of the information. So maybe we've got this hundredth monkey thing licked, and this information's out in the universe, and they're just picking it up. It is awesome. But it's the pre-section. Go to your top menu line and look up PRE. Put in today's date, and you'll get all the information. And you can actually check it against anybody's vocal print. So maybe when you do class this afternoon, the review class, ask Janet or Kevin or Tommy to show that to you. Okay, Joanne? That's great. I love it when all these practitioners sit in class with us for a week, come back every Sunday for review classes, go to happy hour, come back to blog talk. They just can't get enough. And we've got some wonderful posts on here, too, about how people love the keynotes because it just helps relieve their stress. Even if their family members who are complaining, they can say, oh, that's just interstellar stuff. It'll go away by Tuesday. I love it. Okay, Richard.
Okay. I have a little mini rant, but it's just going to be mini because I really want to get Susan on here. My mini rant is go to my Facebook page, which is, you know, Facebook, blah, 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 / talk to me guy, and read about the town in Texas that went to turn on the faucet and found that there was no water. / my favorite word, fracking. but yet the town was able to somehow supply the 8 million gallons per well that was being fracked in the same town. However, the town itself had run out of water. Okay. That's all.
So here it is. You know, I heard a guy, and I'll shut up soon, talking about fracking, and he said anybody can turn on their water and light fire to it. That's nothing. Those people are just being worried over nothing. I tried it. I can't get any fire out of my soffit.
I would hope not.
Lying
creep.
There
should be methane gas wandering around in your water.
Absolutely. And we're looking at your site. So it's
Just scroll down a little there. There's that thing about the government destroying that, you know, Virgin Island, but that's a separate rant. There's a lot of rant. That's mostly what I do on Facebook, is I kind of rant about things. Okay, so Susan Stewart is a professional intuitive counselor who has over 26 years of experience in her field. Her undergraduate studies and graduate work centered on psychology, cultural anthropology, and hypnotherapy. The work included research on American Indian shamanism, in-depth studies of hypnosis, and an examination of the relationship between astrology and Jungian psychology. The Intuitive Development Institute was established by Susan in 1981 to promote a more expanded awareness of intuition, metaphysics, and astrology. Good morning, Susan. Welcome.
Good morning, Richard.
So,
you hear
sorry,
me?
We fell into... Yeah, no, you sound great. Yes, you sound great. Thank you.
Even though I have all the things that we were just mentioning...
Yes, right. You're a poster child for the keynote of F right now. It's amazing.
I'm a perfect example.
There she
is. I don't have to worry about it now. It'll be gone tomorrow.
No, you don't,
right?
You've gotten it out of the way. See, you're always ahead of the game, and here you are once again ahead of the game. That's very good.
Thank you so much. I want to
jump right in to talking about.
Yes.
Thank you. Jump right into talking about, there's a bazillion things we could talk about. Really, my idea of wanting to talk with you was talking about activating intuition. And I know that you had done work with doctors in Europe, training them to use their intuition in their medical practices. And that's kind of where I want to open the door. I rather than going through the, like, who you are, where you came from, how you got here, which is a whole, like, big story, but I really want to jump into that because I think it's such a powerful tool that as practitioners we really need to engage and activate and be comfortable with our intuition. So how did that come about working with doctors?
Well,
and
okay.
B, wow.
Right. Well, I was thinking about that this morning and it's a long time that I have been doing this, a long time ago. Even my website, the time is off on that. 26 years, it's been longer than that. But how I started working with doctors is in the United States, I started by doctors coming to me as clients. First as clients for themselves and then taking classes with me here. So they initiated it, and I had several doctors who said, well, one of them is the one who said, oh, you're a medical intuitive, which I had never actually heard that term before. So we're talking a very long time ago. Teaching doctors was exactly the same as teaching anyone else how to develop your intuition. First, you're looking at a human doing it. But when you're working in the medical field, there's an exponential jump because you're not just working with yourself, which is fine, working with yourself. We feel more confident, all right. You know, if we make a mistake, we haven't, you know, it's just our own bodies. Working with doctors, first they had to let go of their judgment that they had to be perfect. You know, that's a big thing because, unfortunately, our doctors, you know, we view them as perfect, and they are, you know, they're under that veil. So we had to look at looking first at your own intuition and then translating that into your patients. So I started first in the United States with doctors who were open enough to be studying themselves with me. And then I was referred to, you know, a number of clinics over in Europe, in Belgium and the Netherlands and Germany. I used to think that the doctors in Europe were more open than we are in the United States. I don't think so. I think that it's a personal thing, that some of the doctors are very open here and some are very open there. The laws are, I used to think the laws were easier over there. They're not. I have some stories about that. But the situation and how I've trained them to do it is the same as training any lay person how to read the electromagnetic field to diagnose illness or anything else for that matter. So it's a clairvoyant, clairaudient configuration. You know, you start with somebody who tends to be very analytical and has the information about the body, it'll be easier for them to read the specifics of the body. Just makes sense. Are you there, Richard?
No, I'm here. I'm thinking about it. I mean, no,
okay.
Not even close yet. I'm thinking about that, and I'm thinking about something. I was at a Bruce Lipton lecture once where he explained about dogma, that dogma was actually I don't know that it's directly a medical term, but it was used in medicine, that there were dogmatic beliefs or principles, what I would call principles, I think they call them beliefs, and they were like givens in the medical world, that there were these dogmatic rules that you practiced from, and I don't mean that, I mean specifics. And so to be able to work with doctors who have been trained with, like, you know, when you do, you know, 1 + 1 = 2, kind of that
right.
dogmatic thing. So to be able to break down those boundaries or recontextualize those boundaries so that they can engage their inner voice, which they have. I mean, that's one of the things about the white coat, you know, blinding white coat. They're really human beings, and they're just like the rest
right.
of us.
Right. And
so I think that's an amazing thing.
No. Two things I have to say about that. First of all, it's protocol. Doctors are required to operate under a certain protocol. It's very difficult for them to move outside of that. But the doctors that I originally worked with, the very first thing that I did with them is I looked at their electromagnetic field. I read them. So what happens is our belief systems, if something is true or accurate for us, and we are able to move into that realm immediately, so it's personal, it's very personal, and then you can go and take that personal information and say, well, if this is true, then perhaps the next piece is true. So do you see, it's like the voice print. If this is true for me, if this sounds right, then all right, we're going to accept that perhaps the next piece is true. Do you see? So it always starts from a personal. It starts with each of us from a personal in looking at our own ability to read ourselves or to use our intuition. First, it has to prove accurate for us. You know, if we keep trying to do these things and they're not quite right. You know, people ask me, what's your percentage of accuracy? Oh, my goodness, if it wasn't 100%, I would be, you know, I think, well, that's odd. You know, how could it be a few percentage? It has to be 100%. So it has to come in a way that absolutely hits us at 100%. However, it comes from all sources. So, you know, when we're thinking, oh, is this going to be written out in a linear way? No, we're talking about a non-linear reality. So we use our linear minds to ask the questions. We use our linear minds to ask the question. I say that 2 times because it is so important. Your question is important or more so than the answer. So when you personally, our listeners, want to know something, we have to ask the question. So the doctors, and when we bring our questions even into our traditional physicians now, the question is important. You know, if we just come in and say, hey, take a look at me, you know, whatever we might, you know, that's a kind of a humorous thing. You know, the medical field wants to know, what are our symptoms? What's wrong with us? What do we want to know? So when asking for our own information, we first write down what do we want to know. That's the first step. What is the question? Then from that step, then we can let go and trust and use all of the tools that are available to us, whether we happen to be physicians ourselves and know a tremendous amount about the physical body or medicine, or whether we don't. The information will come to us in a way that is that allows us to receive it and know that our answer is correct. So whether we go to a physician, ask the question, let go, and hear the answer that seems accurate to us, okay, that's fine. That's a good way to do it. It's one of the ways. Whether we sit down, write the question out, ask the question, and then wander around and see symbols in our environment, another good way. I happen to have, for myself personally, a library of real books that from so many subjects. So if I have a question, one of the things that I do is I'll write the question down and then go close my eyes, and this is a funny thing, close your eyes and run your hands over the books, pull one off the shelf with your eyes closed, and open the book. Now, I would invite our listeners to do that and see how amazing that kind of information is, how it will directly relate to the question and answer it. It's magic. So we're using our logic, my logical library. We're using our mind to ask the more specific the question, the more direct the question, the more precise the question, the easier it is for our intuition to come through with the absolute direct precise answer.
Boy, this would be a beautiful time to bring that in.
Yes.
Well,
wow.
We've been behind the scenes reading your voice.
Oh, good.
And your voice says, you think that feeding the mind is just as important as feeding the body. You're aware of how painful thoughtless words can be. Your reputation is very important. You will go to great lengths to protect it. You can be fussy about your physical space. You need to satisfy no one but you. Sometimes you spend a lot of energy trying to get the smallest detail right. The spirit of your inner core resides with your ability to take quiet time for yourself. Your highest note is associated with the perspective of service to self versus service to humanity. Somebody needs to, Joan, you have your mic on. Your leadership ability is hampered sometimes by a lack of opportunity. Those around you will allow you to give too much unless you define your own needs. You tend to do more for others than they do for you. You don't always express your sense of confusion to the appropriate person. You can easily put yourself aside for the benefit of others. You actively seek to bring spirit to all of your interactions. And we've been doing a couple of things here. The other thing that you require is that your actions be useful. It's particularly bothersome when someone borrows your property without your permission. As a natural leader, you sometimes act with more than your share of work. Your connection to universal truth demands your time. Now, that's exactly what you've been saying, and it was totally expressed in your vocal print.
Oh, amazing. Amazing.
We just proved that you are.
It's wonderful. I love that. When I had whispered to Sherry backstage that I thought it'd be great to do your vocal print while you were talking, so
oh,
on the webinar,
you didn't tell
on the
me.
WebEx,
glad you didn't tell
we're,
me.
No, of course not. and that we were watching the vocal print, and I was, you know, I was like sucking wind over here going, oh my God, look at how this is so accurate. It's so wonderful to see the vocal profiling in action. You know, I mean, it's just, and you're saying, and you're speaking the truth at the same time. I mean, it's just, I love that. I just love that.
And I, pardon me? Go on.
Oh, this is why we give this program away, because we think everybody should have the ability to look at people this way, because somewhere we forgot this ability. We forgot how to do this.
Right. Right. We did.
And I think this is such a perfect example of exactly what you are talking about, Susan, is the linear mind creating the perfect question, and then that in turn allows and opens the opportunity and possibilities for information coming from all sources. And that's a real sleeper phrase to me that you tossed out very casually, is information coming from all sources. I mean, that's a really powerful thing. That's a really powerful, mind-blowing thing, man.
And so
that's
much fun.
That's so cool.
It's so much fun.
And it's between, I want to emotionally satisfy, I want to intellectually satisfy. She lives in both worlds when you look at her print. She's more right brain, though, than left.
Well.
Awesome information. We love authentic people on this show, and We really weren't going to say anything about it, just kind of put it up here, and Richard and I were going to look at it. But it was so profound, we just had to share it.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Okay, so let's go back to, now that we've, you know, done that little magic trick behind the stage, that was very fun. Let's talk about the, how do you, so when you're working with these doctors who come from a dogmatic position, and as I say, they're not any different than the rest of us other than they have the white coat on. They're human
right.
beings, but they've gone through a system of linearization and dogmatizing. And how do you soften up their view to allow themselves to open to that amazing phrase about information coming from all sources? How do you engage them in that process? Or train them is really, I guess, what I'm looking for.
Well, I mean, the thing about training, I train them the same as I train anyone else, which is to teach them how to read the electromagnetic field. So, and how you read the electromagnetic field and just looking at it is exactly the same for a doctor or a lay person. I mean, it's not any different.
Wait a minute, Joan. I don't know how you're. I don't know how to mute everybody at once, but we've got some problems with some microphones coming on WebEx. Joan? Joan? Okay.
And the interesting thing I feel is all this is perfect. Whatever happens during, I'm going to say, a session when I'm working with a client, or whether whatever's happening on the radio or the web relates to all of us who are involved, all of us who are listening, relates to me. There's interference. There's something coming from another word or another sound pattern coming in. So we need to be aware of all of the symbols as they occur. So it's difficult to quiet ourselves and just ask the simple question, what is the question? How do we do this? It's kind of impossible to do it when there is, not really impossible, but it's difficult to do it when there are other voices coming through, when other questions, when other people. So one of the things that I do with my clients is request that they visualize that within their electromagnetic field that only their energy exists. And so I invite everyone in the beginning of learning any of this, or the advanced, as we need to remind ourselves, to visualize that there is just a generic clear glass protection around the outside layer of our electromagnetic field. And it is exponential. So, you know, I'm in Northern California, Marin County. You're across the world listening to this. We still visualize the same thing. We are each in a protective shield, and the energy inside that shield is ours, and the energy outside that shield is everyone else's. It's a semi-permeable membrane. We can send and receive energy through it if we like. We can heal everybody across the world if we want to. And we can receive healing too. And, you know, but we need to make sure that only our energy is within that field so that we get clear information for ourselves. So in working with physicians who are just the same as we are, only most of them have very, very, very different, and as Richard, as you point out, you know, the training to do this and the trust in doing it is, you know, so difficult for them to move into another realm and learn how to say, okay, I give over my trust of linear and look at the nonlinear. So same thing. They ask the question and their information comes in a nonlinear way. It comes in a linear way. You know, it comes in that it'll come over the computer, or it'll come through a medical book. You know, it won't come in the way that they're not going to sit down and do any hooga booga. I joke about the tarot cards or palms or what have you, which all are perfectly valid ways of getting nonlinear information. You see, it doesn't really make any difference how you get it. A number of years ago, I was asked to do some volunteer work for a beautiful art group here in Northern California, and this was a very large fundraiser, and you know, we had a wonderful place, and I decided I was going to make a lovely entertainment of it. And so I got a big basket full of sticks and bones and feathers, and I invited all the guests in their tuxedos and their long dresses to take a handful individually and toss them out onto the table, and then look at what the picture said. Of course, we were in an art association, so people could kind of get, and it was a joke, but it wasn't a joke. And then I read them. Now, was that fair? Well, maybe, maybe not. But anyway, they loved it. And the example was that, for me, I know you can read anything. Do you see? You can read anything. Sticks and bones and feathers, the association of that. Now, that just happens to be because I studied shamanism, all right? So do I know the symbols? Yes. Each of you who are listening are going to be doing this through your own set of symbols. None are any more valid than any others. But you need to understand your set of symbols. So in physicians, their set of symbols have to do with the physical body. So they are going to be able to learn through that. And the proof is in the ability to be able to get the answer in a way that they did not think that they were going to be able to get the answer. So that's how we do need to have proof on this. We need to have proof. I mean, this morning, the proof is we look at our own physical bodies and look at something that's a keynote. What on earth does that mean? There's a keynote, and how could that possibly be affecting our physical bodies? Well, you know, the proof of it is, all of us have looked in and gone, oh my goodness, you can hear it with me, the sinuses, the whatever. It's just humorous, really, if you are light about it. My ability to be able to work with the physicians is the same as the ability to be able to work with anyone. You know, it's to work with them and work with their patients. Now, some of the things were very, very, very difficult for me. One of the most difficult things that I did when I was working in, this was, you know, north, north of Belgium and right way up in a, out in the country. And there was a very amazing physician who had licenses to practice in several countries, but he was very open to his own intuition. And what he wanted me to do was read people in front of him, look at their electromagnetic fields, and diagnose their illness when he knew what the illness already was. So it's like your major test, and happened to be when I was first working with him in the winter, northern latitude, and I tend to be, I am clairvoyant, but it tends to be operative during daylight. So to be able to, for me to be able to use my clairvoyant ability when the sun is not out is almost impossible. And he wanted to do, he had many workshops that went all night long. And he said to me, I need you to do this for these people that have come from all over Europe. I need you to do it in the night. I said, I can't. I can't do it in the night. I don't see electromagnetic fields in the night. Okay, so how'd that turn out? Richard, do you know that story?
Wow.
I know.
Wow.
Well, guess what? His belief that, because he had seen me do all these other things, his belief that I could do it in the night and that I was just, you know, I just needed to push through that was, you know, was absolutely wonderful. And, of course, and he stood right next to me and said, okay, now tell me. And, you know, I was able to do it. All right. So I was able to do it. Now, how, I don't know. I certainly didn't see any colors at night, but I, you know, used whatever, made it up, had it come out of my mouth, bypassed my rational mind, and that's how a lot of our intuition works. It bypasses the rational mind and comes through on a level that is not linear and that we cannot explain in a linear way. And I love that too. I love the science. I love the science. I want to explain everything and have it sound just so rational. But
it is. I mean, that, and actually, I want a clarification about. I would like a clarification. I didn't mean to make that so. Like, I want a clarification. I don't mean that. I meant I'd like a clarification about electric. When you're using the term electromagnetic field, you mostly mean that in relationship to seeing auric fields. Is that true?
Oh, everything has an electromagnetic field. You know that, Richard. So I am referring to...
No, I know that. No, I'm asking
you know
about
that.
When you tell us about the term electromagnetic field, and for me, it would be a feeling thing. I've never seen anything, but I feel a lot of stuff. And so I'm just asking, when you sort of standardly use the term electromagnetic field, you're kind of referring to auras on the most part? Or just
oh, that's a good, yes, we could use that term if you like. I am referring to auras, but in that regard, I'm also actually referring to the magnetic field that surrounds the physical body, and that we can feel with our animals. We can hold our hands away, hold left or right, see which one works best, and come in and feel that field, come from far away with my cat on my lap here. Her field goes about 1 foot from her body, and I can then feel kind of a tingling in my hand. She seems to be a healthy cat, so I'm not feeling anything out of balance with her. But if there was something, I would feel a hot spot or a cold spot in that actual magnetic field that surrounds her body. So we have a magnetic field, animals, and inanimate objects and plants, and, you know, everything has a magnetic field. So that's a scientific term. Now, being able to trust that you can feel it in a, you know, rather than having it measured by going into the laboratory, you know, that's another thing. We can go to Stanford and, you know, have it measured, and that's fun too. But we're trying to learn how to do this, you know, on our own and for ourselves. You know, this is one of those things that, you know, each person has the ability to be able to use this intuition, you know, for their higher purpose. And it's also fun. Richard, it's so much fun. It is fun to be able to use this intuition and to be able to read things and, you know, to be able to find out things. It's like, don't know, I like to, you know, I like puzzles, you know, so to be able to read the puzzle.
It seems like that when you're referring to things like tarot or the runes or throwing dice or reading tea leaves or, you know, bones or entrails or, you know, I mean, I've been looking at a lot of stuff for a long time, not unlike yourself. And, you know, or even playing cards. There's this wonderful, I can't remember her name now, but there's this wonderful woman who teaches people how to do readings using playing cards, a standard deck of cards.
So the thing is, you can read anything. You have to, it has to be something that interests you. It has to be something that you maybe even have studied or have a facility with that, you know, I'm not going to toss you in and have you read tarot cards if the symbols and imagery doesn't appeal to you. You know, if say, for instance, we have the physicians, all right, I'm not going to toss them into the tarot cards. What I'm going to have them do is hold their hands, the same as I mentioned, I'm going to have them hold their hands over a medical journal, ask the question, open it, and look to see the answer there, because that's how their mind works. See, so we can do any, you can play with this, but it's going to come through a place that is that speaks to you individually, each person. I mean, Richard, you're my go-to guy for, oh my God, so many non-traditional medical things. I mean, I just, you know, people say, well, who do you go to, Susan? Well, you know, I have my regular physicians, and then I ask the question of the person who has studied all of the, you know, vitamins and treatments, and, you know, I mean, that's, you know, that's where I would go. How does this work? What happens? You know, so you go to what you trust. You know, I work with homeopaths, and I worked in a clinic with a physician who was also a homeopath and taught her and then all of her, you know, staff how to read through a homeopathic way, which is just the very same thing, really. But you take the medica, ask the question, hold your hands over the medica, which is a homeopathic Bible, and open it and read the answer. I'm inviting, this is just so much fun and so amazing to see that the answer relates to the question. You know, that to me it's just exciting that we can all do this, and you can experiment for yourselves on it.
How do you think we lost the ability to do it?
Oh my goodness! We were told we couldn't. You know, my youngest grandson is in a wonderful, wonderful, thank God, a Waldorf school, and Rudolf Steiner, his philosophy was that we could all, of course we can as children read auras, but then we tell the children when they say, oh, that person is red or angry, we tell them, no, they're not seeing what they're seeing. So we close it off as a society and have them use their linear. We're born with this ability to be able to read auras. If we don't close it off, we end up having it be just right there with us. You know, some more than it. It's like musical talent or mathematical skills. Some people are better at it than others. Okay, right. You know, some people are more mathematical and some people are better musical and some people are better at reading auras. Okay, it's not, you know, it's really no different in as far as our genetics and our, you know, abilities. But we all have that ability. I'm not really very good at music, but, you know, but, you know, I can do it.
We have aura cards on our site for sale that we developed like 20 years ago to sort of trick the vision into not going for acuity, but going for reading the auras. So that's something
that
they could write to us and ask about. Sometimes we give them away on our show just because we think people ought to know. But I think the learning is more not toward what visual focus do you need, but the exchange of, if you're reading them, you should be open enough to allow them to read you.
Oh, how true. I'm glad you brought that up. There's a lot of tricks and skills, but let me tell you, we have this thought that we have to see the aura, because I'm using the word see. But I can't see auras with my eyes open. I have to first close my eyes and look around. So I'm imagining it. You know, I'm remembering it, and sometimes that's a little bit easier for people. And also tricking ourselves into it. You know, I remember a class that I took in college, and we were supposed to be reading aura. This is a long time ago, with an amazing, amazing person who was actually, I ended up studying with hypnotherapy with, but amazing, amazing man. Unfocusing your eyes and looking over the top of the head, which is one of the ways that you're tricking yourself into reading an aura. But, you know, I saw, what, maybe yellow, maybe a little bit of gold, maybe just so slightly. And, you know, I thought, oh, well, I'm not very good at this. Well, I wasn't very good at it in the way that, you know, I was comparing myself to everyone else. And, you know, that's not a good thing ever. when you're trying to learn something, you know. And I found that if I closed my eyes and asked the question, what color is this layer of the person's aura, that the answer would come to me. It would come to me in a visual color in my mind. It would come to me auditorily. Do you see what I'm saying? So it's,
absolutely.
You know,
it all gets to the brain in the same way. Whether it's electromagnetic sensing, whether it's color, whether it's sound, it's all changed to that electromagnetic energy sent to the brain for interpretation. We have a wonderful question from the audience.
Good.
She says, please ask Susan if she can tell if a problem is from a past life problem, or if it's an emotional problem or a physical problem, and how do you divide that up?
Oh, that is such a good question. And having, I'm just going to say, it's the same thing as asking the question. And even as I've been doing this for years and years and years, I'm going to revert to myself in the answer of this question. But this last week I was having many, many, many symptoms in my body. And the first thing I needed to have asked and forgot to ask that question is it mine? And I had just been working on someone the week before, had traveled to work on a patient, and I had taken on some things without realizing it. So the first question is it mine if there's something going on in your physical body? If you're asking for, is it current, is it coming from my psyche, is it coming from a past life, we do the same thing. We ask, is this a past life? And then we have to have a simple code, not lots of information. We need a simple code that we know before we've asked the question that gives us a yes or no. That's how we start. Yes or no. You can flip a coin. We don't care. I'll tell you my code. If my hand goes up, it's a yes. If my hand goes down, it's a no. Okay? I'm not connected to that hand. I'm just see it going up and down. People see me when I'm reading and thinking, what is she doing, running her hands all over the place? But it's just a yes-no code. Flipping a coin, having something that gives you a yes-no. You don't proceed until you get that answer. That's the first question. So is it mine? The first question, if it's with your body. Is this current life? Another question. You'll get yes or no. Is this past life? You get the answer yes or no. So, and sometimes when I'm reading people, I think the person has a, let's get a little bit more complex in here. As I'm reading someone, what happens is I will be looking through the electromagnetic field, and I may end up seeing, in my mind's eye, remember, I'm not seeing it in physical form, I may see the person, you know, dressed in a completely different time period or looking different, or I may see them as a different sex or from another planet, if, you know, if you believe in that kind of thing. Oh, my goodness, it's a light source, what have you. But what then I know, oh, we're moving to a different area. The other thing is that some people will come with that, with those specific questions. What, who was I before? Well, you know, well, we've lived many, many times, but, you know, so I look at, give me the life that directly relates to the life that we're living right now, and what are the issues that we've brought through for this particular time? So that's the question that I think is what our caller is asking.
Do you teach people to do this as well as do appointments with them?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. That's the Intuitive Development Institute. I've been doing that for years. I'm sighing because having done it so many years, you start with square one. You have to start with kindergarten. And so for a while I kind of backed off because I was getting tired of starting with kindergarten myself. It was becoming repetitious for me. But I go out into the world and learn more things and collect more data for myself personally, and then I have the energy to come out and teach again, even starting from kindergarten. So some of the things I've done is I've studied metalsmithing. Can you believe it? I trained went in and took classes and art to be able to bang this metal into shape. And it's given me an insight into physical form.
We're running out of time, but how can people get in touch with you?
Well, I'm still at Dr. Susan Stewart, which is Stewart spelled S-T-U-A-R-T .com, or it also you can go to the Intuitive Development Institute .com.
We're looking at your website now. It's a beautiful pinkish purple. So if they wanted to get in touch with you, it's on the bottom of most pages, it says schedule an appointment. So
right.
There's information there about appointments and fees. There's an email site. There's counseling by phone, so they don't have to come to you. But what you're saying is they should have their questions firmly in mind, or you can just open and see what's going on.
I can, either way. I mean, the more specific their question, the more specific my answer. But I don't need people to do anything except for to give me their name if they're on the phone. I really don't need them to ask a question in order to be able to read them. But I do need them to give me their name.
Okay, and just the name, or they can just fill this out online and
well,
get in touch with them?
One of my abilities is I actually have to, in order to be able to read a person, if they're not in my office, which is my home office in San Rafael, beautiful place, they would love it, but if they can't be here, many clients I have never seen, and I can read you across the room or across the world, but I do need to hear your voice. I cannot read you through just a question that has been written. I'm sorry, I don't have that ability.
That's wonderful.
So I need to,
that's
yeah.
All voice. Awesome.
Right.
An electromagnetic connection.
Yes.
The reason you guys have not been here, Richard, is his internet fell into the ozone, the black hole. He's just now coming back. Richard,
although I'm back, I did call back in from my cell phone, so it won't sound as good. While, you know, I was scrambling around trying to make the internet work, I have a workaround. And I want to say that I was able to listen to most of that. I just wasn't able to speak yet. Is that thing that Susan said to me, I think, is a really phenomenal starting place and a really underrated statement is it mine?
Yeah.
And I say that because that can so, if you're working on somebody, working with somebody, even just in conversation with somebody, you really have to get that as a clear position. I'm speaking about my own experience. It's a clear position because if I am looking at someone through the filters of another person or their own stuff or their own fears or their own issues or their own whatever we want to call it, that completely skews my view.
And this can be in a relationship, this can be in a healthcare situation, this can be in, like, you know, picking, I don't know, something, a dress. I'm sorry, it just came out. That's not my thing, but, you know, it's the only thing I can think of. It's just really huge. That's a really, I think that's a phenomenally great starting place, is to really get the, is this mine?
Right. I have a sweet little story about that. We were driving home from Cincinnati, where we had just done a lot of vocal profiles for people. There was four of us in the car, and the driver said, well, I have a headache right here. And the person next to her, well, I have a headache there, too. And the two people in the back said, well, so do I. And the driver piped up and said, well, one of us better take an aspirin.
Oh, that's so wonderful.
Because everybody had tuned in to everybody else, and a lot of times that stuff is somebody else.
Right.
So I would agree with Richard and Susan. Absolutely, you have to ascertain, is this your stuff, or are you just trying to work it out for someone else?
Right, right.
We are looking all over your site here. I've put up your link, your URL. And Richard, have you put that up in Blog Talk also?
Being that we're all in a like mind, yes, I had just done it the moment that you said, did I do that? Yes, I did. It's in Blog Talk. The contact information for Susan is in Blog Talk. It's everywhere. It's on my Facebook page. Back to Facebook.
Well, I see a lot of interesting things on Richard's Facebook I'm going to go back and look at, and I'm certainly going to suggest that Susan come back and visit us. There's many more questions that we can't handle because we're out of time. So, Richard.
I would love that. I would love that. I love your energy. It's the first time I've heard your voice. And I just love it. It's wonderful.
Awesome. I have a little kink in my voice, that my voice is the exact frequency of dopamine, the pleasure center.
No wonder I
love
it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Talk to me. Yeah.
So we can look up people's voices and see what they represent by a natural biochemical. We should start doing that, like the keynote, Richard, for birthdays.
That would be a fun thing to start introducing people to, you know, what people get from talking to others. That's a wonderful thing. That could be a spinoff of the John Gray, you know, when women get together, they talk to each other and they build serotonin. That would be a wonderful thing to add to the show.
There's so many experiments I want to do, and I would like to see Susan's voice before and after a reading with people to see how much she became the other person and how she lets go of that energy. That would be
That would be really interesting. One of the things that happens to me is that if I look in the mirror right after doing a reading, I look at least 20 years older than I normally do.
Wow.
I try not to do that. Not to look.
So if you guys have loved this show as much as Richard and I have, please post it on your Facebook that this is great and wonderful information. Don't forget to put up Susan's email address, or you can go to our site and just copy what's there on our radio show, or send people to this link on our show. We will have this up on Blog Talk, what, Richard, in a half hour?
It's a half hour at most, yes.
Okay, we won't have it up on our site with all the pictures and Susan's vocal print probably until Monday afternoon, but I think it's a great way to look at the people that you want to interact with. Does their vocal print match yours and what you think you want to be and associate with? So this is a great one that we're going to recommend that our students look at, because you certainly walk your talk.
Thank you so much.
It was wonderful, Susan. I knew it would be fun, and I was right, except for the fact that I lost, you know, all my connectivity. I was great.
What does that mean?
Exactly. Okay. Oh, that's a whole separate show. Right, exactly.
We'll talk later.
All right, well, thank you, Susan. Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you.
That was a blast. And let's see, we have, is this Tuesday Vocal Profiling Review Tuesday for Happy Hour?
It is Vocal Profiling Live, and we're going to be talking about, we hope, how to look at some of the clues for Alzheimer's and some of the people in our public eye that have Alzheimer's. And I don't know if we want to take the chance of informing them, but I'm hopeful that somebody will send them to the show so they can get some help. Because all four of them that we looked at, it's a zinc-choline combination. If they could start some nutrition now, maybe they could, I don't want to say save themselves, stall these amyloids building in their brain. So we want to help, and we don't want anybody with Alzheimer's running our country. And that's one of the questions that came up, to see if we could stop that. So good stuff.
All right. Well, thank you. That was a great show. Thank you, everybody. Everybody have a great weekend, and we'll see you next week.
Are we doing Vitamin D Lady next week?
I think so. I think we're doing the Vitamin D grassroots organization, grassroots. Yeah, it's just called grassroots. We'll know more by Monday or Tuesday, and that'll be up and posted. I hope so.
Getting all kinds of feedback. People love the show. Awesome.
Great.
Okay.
Wonderful.
See you next week.
Great, great.
Wonderful. It was very fun. All right. Thanks, everybody. I know Sherry has to jump off to do a class next. So thank you. Everybody have a great weekend.
Richard, do I still have you?
I'll call you back.
Okay, good.
Mm-hmm.